The waters between Miami, Bermuda, and Puerto Rico make up what some describe as the Bermuda Triangle. Christopher Columbus is known as the first person to document anything strange about this area. Back in 1492, his crew observed dancing lights, flames in the sky, obscure compass bearings. Since then, the phenomenon has grown with countless bizarre incidents, hundreds of ships being reported lost at sea. With us, Dr. Greg Little, a psychologist and writer turned explorer. He and his wife have been searching the Bahamas for archaeological ruins and possible evidence of Atlantis for a while. He is the author or co-author of over 40 books and has been featured on a lot of TV shows, Discovery, History Channel, Learning Channel, Sci-Fi, MSNBC, National Geographic. We really appreciate the time, Greg.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure. And this is a topic I'm interested in. I've always been interested in it, but I got real interested in it just a few years ago when we started finding things that had disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle, which really, it's an enormous area. It's over 500,000 square miles, and a lot can disappear into a watery space that large.
How much time do you think you guys have spent over there where you're actually within in the triangle?
Well, when we're really in it, since 2002, we've probably spent 5 to 6 weeks a year in that area, generally in very small boats going well offshore. Some of it is kind of dangerous, and some of it was pretty stupid for a while until we decided to smarten up a bit. But about 5 to 6 weeks a year, so since 2002 to now, maybe 30 to 40 weeks we have spent there, and that's actually a lot of time.
And can you describe a little bit about the temperament of the water? Is there an instant feeling of things being a little strange upon arrival, or would you describe it as a kind of right place, right time kind of thing when odd things happen there?
I'll tell you what, that area of the Bahamas, and that's really where we are searching. If you go straight off of Miami, Miami was sort of the hub of the whole Bermuda Triangle mystery, and it really started with the disappearance of Flight 19 back right after World War II. Five torpedo Avenger bombers disappeared, and they actually flew to Bimini first to do a practice bomb run on it's actually a concrete barge that sunk about 5 miles south of Bimini, and that is considered the hub of the whole thing. And we actually go to Bimini. We start almost all of our research at Bimini, but the waters are generally pristine. It is almost beyond description. There are times that you can see through 100 feet of water to the bottom. And then there are other times, there's a scene on one of the documentaries that we made where I was standing in this water that was no more than 3 feet deep, and we were about 10 miles offshore of the largest Bahama island called Andros, which is also the least explored of the islands, and it's in the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, and almost instantaneously I was surrounded in this waist-deep water with what looks like milk. And that's been a phenomenon there that has been noticed. Actually, it was noticed in the 1600s and written about in 1700s and 1800s. It's still somewhat of a mystery, but the water can instantly turn to white, to a white color, and it looks just like milk.
Now, does this have anything to do with the clouds or the way the sun's coming down, like what time of the day it is?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with that at all that we can tell. There have been a number of researchers that have looked at the phenomenon. The general consensus, but not the solution, is that it is calcium being released into the water by dying plankton. Of course, calcium is what makes milk look white. But that theory remains only a theory, and they've actually found some things that show that that may not be the case. Sometimes when you're flying over these white forms, this milky sort of formation, it looks almost phosphorescent, and a number of people who have written about the Bermuda Triangle have discussed this whiteness. But otherwise, we've never felt anything strange there. We have seen a few peculiar things, and we have also noticed that freak storms do, in fact, pop up. They can come up almost instantly on a day where there is not a single cloud at all, and you can get a violent thunderstorm that occurs within 5 minutes. And I'm a private pilot. in addition to doing all this other exploration. And there are places where we have flown in charter planes where I would be a little, well, I'd be very hesitant to fly a single-engine plane through, and we've seen a lot of just strange weather occur. And that may be the solution of some of the disappearances there, of course.
Do you agree or disagree with some people who say the data involving shipwrecks and mishaps is no different in this part of the ocean than any other?
I don't think anybody's done, but I don't think anybody's ever done a statistical analysis on that. It is a very heavily traveled area, and of course, ships and planes disappear. The really strange or weird thing about the Bermuda Triangle is that some of these planes and ships disappear under very unusual circumstances. I don't know if the numbers are higher than anywhere else, but I'll give you a simple example, and this is one that we know about firsthand. Back in 1968, a single-engine Cessna 172 took off from Grand Turk Island in the Bahamas. Now, about 5 minutes after the pilot took off, he radioed back to this tower, and it's not a controlled airport tower, but it's just a little, they're called fixed base. But he told them that he had forgotten to refuel and that he was turning back. And he was never heard from again. There were two people in the plane, a 30-year-old pilot and his girlfriend, and not a piece of wreckage was found, nothing, and he had just taken off. Now, what's weird, that happened in 68, what's weird is that in 2007, we found the back half of that plane with the same serial number or N number on the tail. We found that plane on Western Andros, which is more than 400 miles away as the crow flies. If you actually follow the water channels that would lead to the back of Andros or Western Andros, this piece of plane wreckage had to go 700 miles. So it disappeared in 1968, and we found a piece of it in 2007. But what's odd is the guy radios, he's instantly gone, a plane went out and looked for him, and not a piece of wreckage was found. And that seems to happen a lot there. A plane will radio and say it's having a problem, or it's going into a storm, or in some cases it's coming in for a landing, and then it just simply vanishes. And wreckage is virtually never found. A plane actually disappeared off of Andros while we were there in 2007. And it had seven people on board. It was a two-engine plane. And it just disappeared. We actually talked to one of the private pilots who went out to try and find it and after it crashed, and he literally found nothing. And that's kind of the strange part of it. Same thing with ships. Some ships will sometimes just be found. They're either adrift or they're sailing, and there is virtually no one on board, and there's nothing wrong with the ship. And that has happened numerous times in the Bermuda Triangle. So that's pretty odd.
And have you put together any kind of a theory about what it could be, that you know, gravity in that area or
just Well, there's a lot of theories, and then, frankly, I don't know. I know that pilot error probably accounts for a lot of these things, and I know, too, that when a ship goes down or when a plane goes down in some of these areas, the water can be so deep and the current so quick that it just disappears. I know, for example, that on the western side of Andros, where the Great Bahama Bank is, the water there is so shallow that almost nobody goes in there and searches, and it's virtually impossible for, like, a Coast Guard cutter to get in there. Now, we've been searching the area, and we found loads of things. We found planes under the water, upside down in sand. We found four planes, which we believe are probably linked to Bermuda Triangle disappearances. One is for certain, and the others we can't obtain the N number off the tail. But I don't really know. I know pilot error. I do believe in the theory that methane gas has bubbled up from time to time and has sank ships. I know some of the small boat disappearances probably have come from pirates. There are modern pirates in these areas. There were in the 60s and 70s. They're still there today, but there's not as many as there once was. But still, it's odd the way a lot of these things disappear.
And no, you're pretty busy. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today. We'll wrap things up with your guys' work on Atlantis. What got you interested in searching for the existence of Atlantis, that kind of stuff?
Well, actually, that was because of a British author named Andrew Collins. And Andrew, in a book called Gateway to Atlantis, published a picture, which was actually originally published in 1971, of a triple ring stone formation off of Well, actually, it was near Cuba in the water, but it was actually in the Bahamas. It was closer to Cuba than the Bahamas. And we decided that we were going to go find this circular structure, and we subsequently did. And it turned out not to be a stone structure at all. It was natural. But then we were led to some underwater stone formations, and that led us back to Bimini, where we got involved with the so-called Bimini Road. And then we started looking for stone archaeological structures, the remains of buildings all over in the Bahamas that are actually, well, really on the Great Bahama Bank. And we found a lot of things. We found some really enigmatic stuff, stone walls under the water that are literally man-made stone walls that are made out of huge blocks that seem to go nowhere and serve no purpose, but they're clearly man-made. Some of this has been pretty controversial, but most of the things that we report now are just straightforward, and we don't know what a lot of it is, but we found a lot of things. I do believe that there was a maritime culture active in the Bahamas at least 10,000, 8,000 years ago. It is not recognized by mainstream archaeology, and there's just so much there where nobody has ever looked. It's a really enigmatic, strange area. There's a lot of stuff there. If you fly over the Great Bahama Bank, you see things everywhere under the surface. And basically, that's how we identify our targets. We do an aerial survey. We get the GPS or the exact longitude and latitude of it from the air, and then we go to it on really small boats. But there's a lot of stuff down there, and it's an interesting, interesting area.
And you guys are putting together a couple documentaries you hope to finish in the next year or so?
Well, we just finished one called The Search for Edgar Cayce's Atlantis, and that's actually available on Amazon. We're making two. We made two last year with a Canadian film crew, one on a show called Prophecy, and the other one is called Go Deep. It's a diving show. And then we're making two documentaries in January with the Discovery Channel, one of which is on the Bermuda Triangle and where they're going to look at some of the things that we found. And the other one is on the search around Bimini and Andros for building ruins, basically Atlantis. But we've made six of our own and, well, I don't know how many with others, probably eight shows that have aired on almost every alternative cable, not non-network.
Dr. Grid Little right there, a psychologist, writer, turned explorer, and a guy who's been down in this area for quite a while, published a bunch of books, working on some documentaries. Now, do you guys have a website you plug out?
Sure, www.mysterious-america.net. And actually, there, if you go to the Atlantis Expeditions link, you can see really, virtually all of our reports from the beginning. Lots of pictures. There's links to little films you can see of some of the things we found underwater. And there's a lot of pictures. You can see all the planes I talked about on that website. There are photos of all of them, and the stories are there.
All right, Greg. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure.